Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, home to 1,500 undergraduate students from nearly every state and more than 50 countries. Dedicated to an engaging global education. Lawrence.edu. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up next hour, we'll find out if health supplements are effective and, more importantly, if they're safe. But first, it's Friday afternoon, and that means our assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky, is here to give us a scoop on what's making news in Wisconsin. Hey, Noah.
Hello, Veronica. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. So let's take a look at some of what's happening here at the UW-Madison and, of course, around the state. This has wide-reaching implications. We are looking at a new president of the UW system.
Right. So the UW released a list of finalists in its search for a new president who will be replacing Kevin Riley. I think there are a lot of people around the state who are anticipating this list. And the finalists include one familiar name, at least to many in Wisconsin, Ray Cross, who is the chancellor of UW Colleges and UW Extension. So there will be one, at least we know, one internal candidate for the job. Peter Garland, he is an executive with the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education. I think a specific title is Executive Vice Chancellor and Chief Operating Officer. And the third person is Robert King. He is the current president of the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education, which, if you don't know or aren't from Kentucky, that's sort of the agency that more or less oversees the public universities in that state. So we've got three finalists here, and next week we'll find out who gets the big job.
So it's pretty fast moving from here on out. What happens next?
Very fast moving. I mean, from the release of this list, I think almost just a week will have passed before we have a new president. And they will be interviewed by the Board of Regents, the actual search committee. They'll be interviewed on Monday. Then those finalists will take part in a statewide public forum via video conference, which members of the public can tune into at several campuses around the state. And so that'll be happening on Monday. On Thursday, the Board of Regents is expected to vote on the committee's recommendation. And so by Thursday afternoon of next week, we could have a new president.
I got to say, a statewide public forum via video conference. Now, that is an intense job interview.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe people will be able to submit questions and that sort of thing. So I think it's important for the Board of Regents, for the system, to get these finalists out in front of the various communities around Wisconsin so they can judge these finalists for themselves.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that. And as you said, news expected next week already.
Yeah, we should have news of a new president or at least of a new appointment probably Thursday afternoon.
Okay. We'll watch for that on Thursday. Well, something else happening is the new DOA website. It's called Open Book Wisconsin. That just launched, didn't it? Tell us about that.
Right. So Open Book Wisconsin is a website that really was a championed by Governor Walker, who included it in the 2011 state budget. And for Governor Walker, it's really an initiative aimed at bringing more transparency to the government, to state government on the public's part. And essentially what it is it's an online database of state spending. It kind of looks like a credit card statement. It will tell you the vendor and how much was spent on that particular vendor. I spent probably more time than I should have yesterday playing with the database. Very, very interesting.
I knew you'd have tried it out already, intrepid reporter that you are.
Of course.
How did it work? Is it easy to use?
It's pretty easy to use, although you have to have, I would say a little bit of expectation as far as it doesn't give you any specific information about what the money was actually spent on. So DOA officials sort of liken it at this point in time to a trip to Home Depot. It will show you how much money was spent and who was paid, but it doesn't break down, you know, what you actually spent that money on. Like this particular official from the DOA says, well, if you go to Home Depot, you can sell, well, this is how much you spent, but you don't know, you know, if you bought a hammer, nails, and light bulbs, things
right,
like that.
Right, so not the nuts and bolts of it yet.
Well done.
Thank
done.
You very
yeah,
much.
That stuff is not included on the website.
But it sounds like there will be more detail added to the website later on. Is that true?
Right. Officials at the DOA are the first to admit that this is a website that is, you know, a work in progress. It will eventually include, according to the website, salary and fringe benefit information for all state workers, grants awarded, and contracts entered into by the state. So much more information will be included over the course of the next few months and years.
So do we know what the price tag was for this thing?
Oh, roughly. The site cost the state about $160,000 to build, although that does not count the in-house costs of the like state employees who actually worked on it. It doesn't include those hours. But that website is live, and I encourage our listeners to take a look.
Are there projections about who is expected to use it the most and who has used it already?
One news manager has used it already. I could say that much. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I imagine journalists, of course, will. Members of the public, you know, there are public interest groups who are interested in what the state government spends its money on. Politicians, obviously, will be talking about it. So I imagine quite a few people will use it as it continues to evolve over the next few months and years.
Well, transparency is a watchword right now. So this new website aims to do just that.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we want to talk next about a native son from here in Wisconsin, Charlie Hill. Tell us about Charlie Hill.
Yeah, Charlie Hill was really a pioneering Native American comedian and Wisconsin native. He died on Monday. A very well-known Native American comedian who worked on any number of shows. He was an actor, and he also did stand-up on many of the late-night shows. Instead of me actually talking about his comedy, why don't we listen to it? This is Charlie Hill, actually, on his television debut on the Richard Pryor Show. I believe this was in 1977.
My name is Charlie Hill, Sagoli. I'm Oneida. I'm from Wisconsin. It's part of the Iroquois Nation. My people are from Wisconsin. We used to be from New York. We had a little real estate problem.
And, you know, as you could tell there, he spent a lot of time on stage, you know, turning stereotypes, ignorance, and, you know, basically unfortunate parts of our country's history, and he turned it into comedy. You know, he addressed some very uncomfortable things.
And he made it big. He wasn't just someone who was, you know, playing the small clubs. He was on the big shows.
No, I believe he was a writer on the Roseanne Show. He was also the first Native American comedian to appear on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And Charlie Hill actually counted Johnny Carson among his greatest comedy heroes. He also appeared several times on Late Night with David Letterman as well. So spent a lot of time on stage and in the public arena. You know, if we've got time, let's give the public just a little bit more of Charlie Hill, because he really was an amazing talent.
Absolutely.
You have a lot of holidays. This is Indians country. There's no Indian holidays. There's Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and everything. Oh, no, there's one holiday we do celebrate with white people. It's Halloween. Every year we dress up like white people, you see. And we go door to door, and we get anything we want, you know. Trick or treaty.
I have a sense you had a lot of fun pulling these clips for the show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I spent, again, more time than I probably should have on YouTube today reading up and looking at some of his and listening to some of his comedy. Really a brilliant comedian and, again, a native Wisconsinite who said himself always counted the Oneida Reservation as his true home, although he spent most of his adult life in the Los Angeles area.
Did it come back here much? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know that.
Interesting. And it sounds like from the obituary, he died after a battle with cancer?
Yeah, with lymphoma. Yep, he died on Monday.
All right. Well, it's fun to celebrate his life and hear a bit of his humor, too. Thanks for bringing that on. Finally, another news headline that everyone's keeping their eye on, the Packers preview. Tell us about that. What's happening this Sunday?
So in case you haven't been watching television or radio or reading newspapers or the internet, the Packers play the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday in the first playoff game of this season. And, you know, this is, in fact, their fourth meeting, I believe, in the last two seasons. And it's going to be a tough game. No joke. It's going to be a tough game for the Packers. They've played three times in the last two seasons. And unfortunately, the 49ers have won all three.
Ah, but this time it will be 20 degrees below zero.
It's going to be
or 30 or 40 degrees below zero.
It's going to be brutally cold in Green Bay. Whether or not the cold is going to stop the 49ers star quarterback and Michael Crabtree, their wide receiver, who's to say? needless to say, it's going to be a tough game on most counts.
Now, catch us up on what happened with the would-be blackout.
Yeah, so there was a chance here this week that there's actually going to be a local TV blackout because not enough tickets were sold. As of yesterday, the total number of tickets that needed to be sold were around 7,000. Well, obviously, the Packers, you know, went public with it, and individuals, companies, private companies, as well as other folks came in and bought enough tickets so that there would not be a local TV blackout, because according to NFL rules, there was a chance that I believe Wausau, Milwaukee, and Green Bay wouldn't be able to air the game because it wasn't sold out. And so the crisis, don't worry, everybody who lives in those three communities, the crisis has been averted, and the Packers game will in fact be on, I would think, probably most televisions.
There would have been some pretty ticked off fans come Sunday.
Yeah, but everybody came through. The Packers came through. You know, several companies came through, as well as members of the public. So the game as of now is sold out.
That's pretty good. And do you have a pick for what's going to happen? Do you want to tell us what you think in your crystal ball?
Well, there's what I want to happen and what I think is going to happen. And for my own reputation in the state, I'm not going to reveal what either one of those things are.
Oh, like a good newsman. All right. Well, we'll have to watch it ourselves on Sunday. Noah, thank you so much for coming by.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
That was Noah Ofshinsky, WPR's assistant news director. He joins us every Friday to talk state news.